Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Chode House. This is D, Ethan, and Snow. I always fucking hate doing those intros because as soon as I'm done saying the intro, I'm like,
I don't even know if this is going to make it to the. I don't know if it's going to make it to the final cut, but
no.
You see some. We talked about the sausage last week, and you get more sausage. That's how the intro's made.
So much sausage.
We'll cut this out. It's a sausage fest, and basically, I don't know what the fuck to say after I say the intro.
You should say what you say, and then we just start talking. That's the way to do it.
I just die off. I'm like,
no, that's fine.
I wish it. I'm gonna
have
start
an aneurysm.
Yeah, basically, I'm gonna start saying, just this is Chode House, eat shit. Nerds.
You're a fucking chode if you're here.
I would do exactly what you did, man. It's a Chode House here with the Ethan and Snow. It's episode whatever, and then we just start talking. That's the best way to do it.
I've noticed the other podcasts, they all have these nicknames for their listeners. And of course ours is Chodes.
You're a fucking chode. So what this is episode 9.
And, oh wow!
Oh, is it?
I think so. Yeah. So, right, hey, can we start talking? Are you gonna clip this together? Eight.
We're on eight.
All right. Well, this is eight. So shows you how
come
much.
Come on!
Show. So before we went live, we were talking about Elden Ring. Actually, I was getting angry about how I hate backtracking in video games and how Castlevania and Metroid suck, and I'm the only one that hate them. And I understand that. Hate that gameplay style. It's just
shit.
They did it to artificially extend the game because of technical limitations. But anyways, we're talking about, so Elden Ring had 20 minutes of gameplay that dropped last week or the week before, like showing off various mechanics. Pretty cool. I think it's going to be a neat intro. And then D was actually talking about, or D and Ethan, I didn't see it. They did a limited network test to do, like, I guess, stress testing on their infrastructure or see how everything works. And some streamers got access to it, and there's one that that at least D and I like. Ella J does horror games, Souls games. He's a speedrunner for Souls games and Hitman, I know specifically. So yeah, you were talking about what'd you think of it? You watched him a little bit, you said.
Yeah, I watched what's our guy's name? How do you say it? Ella J.
Ella J. Ella J. I think.
Yeah,
anyway. Ella J. Georgia.
Kind of. It's almost spelled the same.
E-L-I-J-A-Z. Anyways.
Right. Yeah, I watched him play through it. He was definitely enjoying it. The thing is, whenever he was playing through it, he could not stream it. He made a VOD of it and then came back later whenever they blessed it. And they're like, okay, you can show this. And then he kind of talked over him playing through it. And so it was weird. It was like him, you know, there were two squares, you know, of him, of him on the video. And one is him playing it, you know, when he couldn't record it. And it's funny because the way he was playing it, he was still talking, like he was talking to chat and stuff, but there was no chat. It was just, you could tell it was just habit for him. And then there was him talking about, you know, what's going on and stuff. And he was explaining some of the new mechanics and stuff like that. He seemed like he was pumped, and if he's pumped, I'm pumped.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I mean, I like Souls games. I do think, I was talking with Ethan about this, I like some of the quality of life that they seem to have. This is going just off of the off the gameplay footage on YouTube, but they're doing like map stuff. You can set waypoints for your map and whatnot.
Yes.
And you can looks like they're copying Ghost of Tsushima, where you like you swipe and get your father's spirit navigates you to your next place. But in Elden Ring, you like get the radiance or whatever it's called, and it can like show you where you're supposed to go next, probably to some limited degree.
This lost you get like a path. What's it called? Lost Grace. That's what they're calling
Grace.
It.
Okay, yeah. I thought it was radiance or something. Yeah, Grace. That's right.
Ah.
I like that kind of thing personally.
Like, yeah, I like wanting to know where to go. And,
well, see, then you're agreeing. That's my point. Yeah. That's my problem with the Metroidvania games. I don't like blind exploration. I don't want to be 100% handheld. It's not an extreme either way. I want it in the middle. I want some guardrails, a general idea of what to do next, and then give me multiple ways to do it. That's perfect for me. Like, go here, and we're not gonna, there's not only one way to do it, and we're not gonna tell you each thing to do, but just go here and make it so.
I understand that. Don't get me wrong. And I guess it really depends on the game. Like, is it enjoyable enough for me to want to go explore? Because I still like exploring, and I feel like what I've seen of Elden Ring will do a good job of tying them together. Or giving you a little bit of both, right? Because what I've heard is that there is some exploration, but it will also show you in a general idea of where to go next. But they also said that it's not really linear. You can go to any of the, like, there's like the central location, and then there's like four other locations. And I don't know if they're as big as that central location. I don't know how big the world is, and I don't think anybody really knows just yet. I mean, they see a map, but there's also like dungeons and stuff, so there could be like that map area may look small, but there could be a super large dungeon there, and maybe that's not showing up on your world map, like the depth there.
Someone
But
else
I, yeah, I
pointed
don't
out,
know.
it's like this is kind of it's kind of a Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
If
Oh
you
boy,
if
can't wait
yeah,
for horse
I
weapon
know.
durability, so
Oh
I
God.
have my variety. Because why should I play the game? I
Oh
want to
Lord.
play
You
it.
want to make Snowman bring up Zelda. He just starts
I mean, I have beaten Breath of the Wild twice. I've done every shrine in it, all the optional shrines. I've done all the, I enjoyed the shrines. I thought the story was fucking
Yeah.
pathetic. The story, it's pathetic.
Shut up, you.
I thought that Ganon is the easiest and most lackluster villain ever implemented
I'm
in
gonna
Breath of the Wild
choke you to death.
specifically. I mean, he's piss easy. But so if there wasn't forced, you know, not, I'm not gonna get on a tangent there, but I hope they don't do that in Elden Ring. I don't like
Well,
systems like that.
what they were talking about is like the map. You can set waypoints, you can set
Yeah.
markers,
Fan
stuff
of,
like
big fan of
that.
that. Big
Yeah,
fan.
it's just like you said, quality of life stuff. And someone else pointed out, it's like this kind of looks like Breath of the Wild. It's like, oh hell, here we go.
Yeah, because that's the first game that's ever done that.
The first and only,
Right.
don't you know? Those
Right.
Nintendo guys, grr.
At least they didn't say this looks like Skyrim. Skyrim now has a board game. Do y'all know that?
Oh my
Of course
God,
it does.
they even made
They're
it to the
bringing it.
tabletop.
Yep.
I agree with someone. I read it in a comment on Reddit, I think, Reddit or Imgur, that Skyrim should be the new Cadet Spaceball or Cadet Pinball and come pre-installed with Windows at this point. Like when you get a Windows license, you just get Skyrim.
Skyrim and
Of course.
Minesweeper.
Yeah, Minesweeper, Pinball,
Skyrim. Yeah.
Skyrim. Let's throw
Talk about a
die,
game.
baby.
Talk about a game that's you know, it heralded a lot of stuff. I personally enjoyed it, other than Spooters. I had to mod the Spooters out of it, but I enjoyed the game. But you want to talk about being overhyped and a recent example of rose-tinted glasses? Like when they were hyping that game up, they're like, once you beat the story, you have infinite, and they did use these words, I'm not exaggerating. You have infinite quests waiting for you with the raiding
Infinite
quest system.
quests.
And of course, everyone knows that's bullshit other than fanboys, but their version of infinite quests was the Radiant Quest system they designed, and they've used
So
since. They used
dailies.
it basically even less imaginative than dailies, though. Like
What
it's
game are we
like,
talking about?
go get these three apples. Okay, you got those three apples, and the person looks at you, go get me two boar skins. And then but it would be
Okay.
random. It would like and then like every five, for example, every so often it'd be like go to the hardest dungeon in the game and do this. It's just like whiplash. It was just so weird. But anyways, that
What game is
digress
this?
again. Skyrim. That Skyrim, once you've beaten it, like once you've beaten the story and done all the side quests,
They
they
said you
called it the
had
Radiant. Yes.
infinite
Yes.
quests.
Infinite. They use that exact wording in their
Okay.
advertisements. And I
I
guess
want you to do.
technically that, you know, it's infinite if you keep playing, but
Yeah. I want you to go to the hardest
I hope
dungeon in
Elden.
the game and take your dick out.
Right.
And take a picture, and then come back and
I
show
hope
me.
Elden Ring is cool. I do kind of wish that I kind of wish that they would get away from part of the difficulty spike being corpse retrieval. I because that's baked into the difficulty. Like they balance around that aspect, and I kind of wish you just don't do that. Like make the bosses harder, or you know, I would even take more trash. Like I want a modern system where you can punish me for dying. I'm not saying don't punish me. I'm saying don't make me go get my body. Like, punish me with an XP penalty. Punish me with a gold penalty. I don't care. If you want to make it hard and, you know, be a masochist, okay. You know, do whatever you want to. I don't want to go and retrieve my body. It's fucking obnoxious.
Make it a setting.
You don't have to. You don't have to retrieve your body.
No, well, you just give yourself for all the upgrades going forward until you farm your souls again. No, you're, I mean, everything's a choice, Ethan. You don't have to go pay your bills. You don't have to feed your child.
Okay,
but,
okay.
I mean, there are consequences.
Well, it's a little bit of a stretch, but okay.
No, I know what you're saying. I mean, you know, you truly don't. And if you die with like 10 souls, right, no one's going to retrieve it, you know. Right. But it's just, I feel like they're modernizing some aspects of it. And I like that. There are some gameplay systems that were put in place by the developer's own admission. Like, they're put in place to make it hard and make you mad. And okay, that's whatever.
But,
do that.
I mean, you need that conflict. You need
that. The reward.
Yes.
It's so much sweeter
to me. Dopamine hit from fucking, from winning. Oh.
The dopamine hits from winning from beating the boss, though, not from getting your body back or from finding where to go.
It's from doing both.
Body back.
It's from doing both.
Let's say I've died like twice to the same fucking faggot who, you know, has hit me with a ranged spell that I can't seem to get away from.
Right.
And then I get through. I've gotten my body back like two or three times. Did all the trash, came all the way back, and I finally got that motherfucker. And now I know. Now I know exactly how to do it. So I can do it every time.
Yes.
And I just, you know, jam his shit up for the remainder of the game.
And it's glorious.
It's glorious.
I love the what is it? Is it called a riposte? The thing where you interrupt them or right whenever they hit you?
Yeah,
dude, that's the shit right there. When you hit that, it's like, ooh,
so,
you suck.
I know D didn't play it because you don't have a PS5. Did you play the Demon Souls remake, Ethan?
No. Uh-uh. All
right. I think that game sucks dick. I'm just saying. the remake sucks. Wow. And I feel like I feel like it's needlessly difficult, even for a Souls game. It could be the mechanics, because I know Demon Souls, since it was, quote-unquote, it was the first one. And I understand the remake that tried to stay faithful to it, which I'm fine with.
Did you play the first one?
No, I didn't. Okay. Because I didn't know it existed back then. I had a PS3, but I didn't understand that it was a thing.
I played through it, beat it. I think I played through it. So I played through New Game Plus. So I went through it twice. Yeah.
Yeah. No. If it's assuming that the original is like the remake, which that's what I've heard from people, I would hate it. Like I just.
So is it it's on PS3? That's the original.
Yes. Yeah. The original is. Yeah. The remake's on PS5. The original's on PS3.
I still got a PS3 around here somewhere.
Oh man.
I have to fucking pull that shit out.
You should run. I think
it's horrible. It's nothing. It's nothing like Dark Souls. Like the gameplay mechanics, just completely different.
So I was like, no, it sucks. It's a heaping pile of shit.
If you had a PS5, I mean, I want a PS5 just to play that game.
I want a PS5 just to say I have a PS5.
Oh, well, sure.
And laugh at all the scrubs who don't.
Right. I want two PS5s so I can sell the other one for $10,000.
When did you get one? How did you get one?
I got one from a Walmart. I've had one since May. I checked Walmart. They had one in stock. I ordered it.
Lord.
Yep. MSRP.
Lucky son of a bitch.
Yes, sir.
He's been giving hand jobs to
bucks.
Walton. Walton family.
Yeah. Well, oh, I got jokes there, but I'm gonna quit.
I don't know. I feel like
dox ourselves.
I just feel like the gameplay loop's just weird. I consider myself a pretty accomplished gamer. I've beaten some very difficult games, done some multiplayer games at an amateur competitive level. but certain games, it's just, I don't like difficulty spikes unless it's really, really, it somehow grabs me. What I don't like is the just beat your head into a wall until you get past it. That's rarely fun to me. Now, if it's done in like spurts, I guess maybe if you have like a soak, like this fight is just a soak, a time soak, okay. But for me, at least personally, I feel like Dark Souls 2 and 3 didn't do that a ton. I feel like Dark Souls 1 did. I feel like a lot of that game was just a time soak, and I don't enjoy it as much as I do 2 or 3.
The only one I beat was 2. I haven't beaten 3 yet.
3 is easier than 2.
Yeah.
In my opinion, they get easier as they go.
If you can beat 2, 3 should be a fucking cakewalk.
I was just talking about
Dark Madeir. That fuck that motherfucker.
That maybe, I don't know if that's where I got. I got to the back to the castle, or I think that's where my save's at right now. I made it back to the castle. Yeah, that castle from 1. It seems like it's where it's from.
Anor Londo?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wait, in Dark Souls 3, you got to Anor Londo and quit? That's pretty far in the game.
Yeah, that's pretty far.
Yeah, that's where I stopped. I don't know. It wasn't because I was like, fuck this game, it sucks. I just got wrapped up in something else and distracted and forgot about it.
Then you gotta get yourself back into it.
Right. If I pick it back up, it's going to take me 2 days to figure out how to dodge and get timings down again. Because it's such a state of mind playing that game. You really have to be in it and prepared.
Well, I hope Elden Ring's good. I'm not gonna get it. I never pre-order anymore, so I'm not gonna pre-order. I'm not gonna buy it day one even. I'm gonna watch.
I'm gonna buy the fucking t-shirt. I'm gonna get the deluxe edition.
Throw your money away. Don't even joke like that.
I hope it's the worst game ever, and you kill yourself after the game releases.
It won't be. Trust me.
We don't pre-order. It's verboten.
Look, I have lost all kinds of money on cryptocurrency. I think I know a little bit about gambling.
I think I'm a pro on how finances work.
I understand the ins and outs.
So I'm gonna reel us back in for a second, because for 2 weeks now, 3 weeks even, we're talking about a topic that we're gonna discuss. And I fucking sidetracked us about Castlevania and Elden Ring again. So, by God, we are talking about this tonight.
What the fuck are we talking about?
I'm going to pause
Dark Tower.
Just a second.
I'm fine.
I got to piss.
All right. Hey, I'm getting background noise on your end.
On me?
Yep.
D or snow?
D. D is getting background noise.
Don't got my mouse. Not touching mouse.
Well, then maybe it was Ethan. I thought I heard a mouse wheel scrolling. I heard some typing at the beginning. I thought I heard like a mouse wheel scrolling or something. Maybe it was Ethan. Well,
is this what you're hearing?
It's that. Yeah, right, it sounds like a mouse wheel.
So maybe I did scroll mouse earlier, but I'm not doing it right now.
Gosh. You can't touch
dude,
anything.
Go pee. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, fuck, I forgot.
God damn it, dude.
I'm my dick.
Dude interrupts me, saying he has to go RTX, pee, so. Then just sits here.
Yeah. Can you hear that clicking?
Sure can. Loud as fuck.
Oh, fucking shit. I can't do anything in here. I know what I'm just going to have to.
You have such a nice mic. Why don't you like fiddle with the distance and gain and stuff?
I'm not fucking with it. This is the only, no. Everything else, it works fantastic and is good. I'm not going to fuck with it.
Well, it works fantastic for everything else probably because they have noise removal. Chrome doesn't. That's why clean feed's weird. Because, I mean, stuff you use for work has noise removal. Mumble has noise. Well, no, Mumble doesn't. Discord does.
No, it does. Mumble has attenuation and stuff.
Well, it attenuates what you hear. I didn't know it had noise removal for input, though.
Yes, it do.
Okay. Well, then, yeah, everything does. Yeah. I know Discord does. WebEx does. Well, shit.
I'll just flip through my cigar magazine.
I can hear the pages, too.
That's fine. You just have to deal with it. See, I hear your fan now.
Yeah, it hot mic'd for a second. I'm keeping an eye on broadcast to make sure it doesn't crash on me like it did last week.
It just, you know, this is, it's gay because it doesn't do It doesn't noise gate anything. It's just 100% open mic. All
Yeah, it's
noises in the
pretty,
room.
not well, not fully featured. I don't know. It's kind of weird. Ethan may have more controls on his end than we do because he's the host. I don't know though. I mean, you could do voice meter again. You used to do that. That has noise gates and stuff. Right? Doesn't it?
Yeah, it's just a fucking half day of work to get that shit tuned.
Oh, I think it's a P. I hate that product.
Oh,
I just know y'all used it a lot.
it's a well, I mean, every like all like a lot of
Every streamer
streamers
uses it.
uses
Yeah,
it.
they use
I
it.
mean, they all and they bitch about it too. It's, oh, it's hard to use and blah 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 blah. But the shit fucking it is skookum. You know, you hate it all you want, it's still skookum.
I'd rather use hard, like if I'm a streamer big enough for that, I'd rather do it all hardware. Like between a mixture of an
You know,
actual hardware
they'll get a
mixer and an
Go
Elgato.
XLR and they'll still run voice meter.
Why? You don't need one. If you're doing
Yeah,
it all in
I've seen
hardware,
it.
you Okay.
I've fucking seen it. Streamers
Whatever.
with a big ass four input Go XLR voice meter on their desktops. Like, okay. I don't know why you're doing that, but
It's kind of strange.
I
Hey,
don't know
I'm
what
back.
feature. Yo.
Hey. Hey, you. All right.
Hey.
3, 2,
I took my
one.
piss.
Yeah, you took your piss. All right. 3, 2, 1. Hey, so like I was bitching, somebody had to cut for a second. Real professional. Appreciate that. We've been
My
trying to
pit.
talk
I
about
had to
this
go
for 3 weeks. Yeah. 3 weeks. You know how long that is? That's 21 days.
It's lumpy.
21 days. No one cares about your lumpy piss. 21 days.
21 days, and he ain't got to talk about what he wants to talk about.
21
21 days.
God.
He's madder than 300 hells. So let's have it then. What
Mad
do you want to
madder
talk
than
about?
400 hells. Dark
Fucking
Tower.
talk about it.
Dark
Jesus
fucking
Christ.
Tower. Oh,
The
Jesus.
greatest book series by
Literally,
anyone ever.
you are the only person that
That's
has
ever
read
read it.
this.
You're right. I know. I wrote it actually myself. So it's I'm really
Steven? Is
this is a this
that
is one big
you?
advertisement for my
Steven?
work.
You started a podcast just so we could reach this point and
It's all been
reach
the long
maybe
con.
15 people.
Exactly. No,
Push your book
you
harder.
caught
You
me.
finished it. You finished it though, Ethan. You finished it.
Yeah. I did.
So it's we've all read it. I think I've
We've all read
probably
it, yeah.
I know D's read it more than once. Listen, or reads, and when I say read, I mean either read it or audiobook, combination of the two, right? Consumed it.
I have not.
I have gone through not the entire series more than once. The entire series I've done once. There are
Okay.
I have done Gunslinger I think 3 times. I actually liked Gunslinger.
I like
That's funny. That's
Gunslinger.
my least favorite. I like the
Yeah.
book, but it's my
Snow
least
hated
favorite.
Gunslinger. He hated Gunslinger. And I'm like, I thought
Well,
this one was great.
the first few times I went through it, to me, if you compare it to the rest of the series, I just feel like it's very weak. And I feel like part of the reason, if you think about it, obviously it's an opinion, but he wrote it. I'm gonna Google so I can, 'cause this is important enough to fact check myself. It was the first one he wrote, obviously. He wrote it as
Right. He
a
wrote it over, it
draft.
was like, was it 10
78.
years? Oh, it
Well,
was like,
so
yeah,
no,
it
longer than
was
that.
longer
Longer
than
than
that.
that. So
Yeah, it
the
was like
gun, well,
70s.
yeah, the Gunslinger he wrote in 78. That was the first print. And then it got reprinted in 82, it looks like. So if you look at the Dark Tower series, so yeah, 80. So real quick, we'll go through just to show how long it was. I want to talk about that too. So the Gunslinger, the official print is the 82, but it was published originally in 78 or 77. I found two different numbers just now. But 82 is the official print. And then the second book, The Drawing of the Three, 87. Third book, The Wastelands, 91. Fourth book, Wizard in the Glass, 97. And then Wolves at the Calla, 2003. And then Song of Susanna and The Dark Tower, so books 6 and 7, both released in 2004. So it's kind of interesting. We get into why he grouped them like that. But I think you can tell, it's obvious to me at least, his writing ability and how he grew as an author. Because the 80s for King were huge, right? He released It, he released The Stand. He released Pet Sematary,
What didn't he
Rose
release
Matter.
in the 80s?
It was a lot, man. So,
Oh.
But so it's, you know, the Dark Tower was, he's talked about in interviews. He's like, it was my magnum opus. It's my thing that I just, he quotes himself so many times as I had to finish it. Like, he right. talks about it like it's a fucking compulsion. He didn't yeah. even enjoy it.
Well, it was
it
a lot to do.
And it
got kind of meta in the series with, you know, he kind of inserted himself a little bit into the series and then he had to finish it. And he had the accident and
yep, almost
you know,
died.
All that shit got was you know, part of Ka there.
Uh-huh.
And, right. So it's a hell of a series. I recommend it if you give a shit about Stephen King and what he did. I did like Gunslinger though, because Roland was just, I feel like the Roland in book one is such an absolute badass. Just mm-hmm.
definitely kills
everybody in this town. Killed, just fucking annihilates them. He shoves a revolver into somewhere where the sun don't shine, and ends this other person, and it gets wild. It gets absolutely wild. And I was just like, man, I love this dude. I fucking love him. He is like Clint Eastwood on steroids.
Man, I have to, the very first line of that book is what sold me. I don't know. I just think it was so fucking cool.
Oh, yeah, the man in black.
Fled across the desert.
Yeah, and the gunslinger followed.
It's like, a super, so the portrayal, the portrayal
of
Roland.
Let's go. Let's go, baby.
We after him. The man in black. Yeah. He's got to get got.
Yeah.
The portrayal of Roland he is a badass and gunslinger, but I think there's a lot of depth to the character, and they flesh it out a lot in the graphic novels that have released by Marvel since, you know, in the last 5 or 10 years. But I think it's cool to see, you know, when you meet Roland in book one, he's destitute. Like, he's alone. Everything he's lived for an indeterminate amount of time. It's portrayed as like 1,000 years, maybe long, way longer than he should have, but time kind of has lost meaning. He's been alone for God knows how long. He has no family, no friends. Everyone he's ever cared about, he's either killed himself or have died because of him and his obsession with getting to this tower. And so he's just he's just blowing people away. But then he grows throughout the series. He still is a manipulative bitch, which we'll get into. But he grows throughout the series, but he never loses that edge. To me, the Roland, I think, is at his most badass, actually in 5, Wolves of the Kala. When he's fighting the wolves, because he's down a hand, right?
Yeah,
he can't use his other hand for anything but reloading. He's one-handed killing these fucking Jedi cyborgs that use the snitch from Harry Potter that blow shit up. And he's annihilating all of them. So it's just, he's laughably strong. But I think it works in this universe. I'm not really a fan of superheroes or, you know, protagonists that are too strong, because it's boring, right? In my opinion, it gets boring. But I feel like the way he's portrayed, even though he is so strong and he is so powerful, there is so much shit out to kill you in his universe and in all the other universes that if he wasn't this powerful, he barely wins as it is. And you can actually argue he doesn't win, but he barely survives as it is, and he's
the
best thing ever.
A crab ate his shit.
Right.
The crab did fuck his shit up.
It did. Not a cheek. Not a chum.
Not a chum, motherfucker.
Not a chum. Like, fuck.
Yep.
Like, why that early in the series? All right. Let's fuck his hand up.
Oh,
it's. I thought that
You're
was.
Making me
I thought
want
that
to
was
go
a
back
really...
through at least book. Start at maybe book three. I didn't. Book two was
start
like,
three.
Eh.
If you've done it, so I like book two, but the way I do it, and I've listened to it, I'm not going to admit how many times, way more than I should have.
It's probably.
But I like to start at three. It is embarrassing. I like to start at three and go to the end. I think book two. I've listened to book two recently. Actually, on this listen through, I did the whole thing. Started at one, but one and two are more just background. And
but three is what? Wastelands.
Yeah, with Blaine. That's where they draw in Jake. That book two is
the
just a lot of white.
Wait, book two's
no,
drawing
book
in the three.
Yeah, but three, but they don't get Jake until book three.
Right.
So I think they've gelled as a party. There's no bitching between, or not as much bitching with Eddie and Susanna and Odetta. That drama is behind them,
right?
Right. And so it's a great series. I think that, you know, there's a lot of tropes in it, sure, and it's a, you know, he is a Clint Eastwood on steroids, like Dee said. But
I love that about him. That's what I'm like. Yes, this is what I want. I want the fucking badass cowboy.
But I like gunslinger. That he's a badass that doesn't. He doesn't win though. Like I was saying, and like he doesn't. He's trapped. You find out spoilers. Massive spoilers. You find out he's basically trapped in this hell. He is Tartarus pushing a boulder up a hill. Sisyphus in Tartarus, yeah, pushing the boulder up the hill. And yeah, he gets to the tower and he's been, you know, don't go through the door. Don't go in there. Don't. And he opens the door and goes through it. And he's back to where he was in fucking book one. But this time it's going to be different because he's got something he didn't have. So it's this giant
and
fuck you.
I fucking hate that ending so much.
I don't like it.
It's
because
such a shit ending. It is. I feel like it's roguelite.
It's roguelite.
I hate it. Dude, yeah, man, we're talking like 180 hours of book on audio for me. Yeah. You know how mad I was?
he doesn't, and I'm not trying to be artsy. I'm the farthest person from an art critic. I am. But I think that's the ending a faggot like him deserves. Like, he is not. No, I love him. He's one of my favorite characters of all time.
Oh, God.
But he is not a good person.
But fuck him. That's why.
He manipulates and gets everyone around him. He knows it. What's worse, if he somehow subconsciously did it, he knows he's manipulating these people. He loves them. And he knows he's manipulating them because he doesn't give a shit.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Interruption. No, go. No, you're good. Go ahead.
I was going to bring up something I had brought up before, and that was the Byronic hero and how...
Yeah, how is he... Because I hadn't heard of that, right?
So
I actually haven't heard of that type.
For that very reason, what you were just saying, like he has an end, right? He has a goal.
Right.
And he's, you know, he's self-exiled. He's willing to sacrifice
everything
and everyone.
Yes.
To get to that goal.
He's definitely ideologically possessed by the idea of the tower.
A little bit of anti-hero.
Definitely.
You know, kind of like Tyler Durden, perhaps. I know that's... You can't really compare both of them. You can't say, you know, Roland was fucking Tyler Durden, but you know they have some similar characteristics, right? So Tyler,
yeah, they have a burn it all down. And
yes,
we're gonna fuck everything up, and
yeah,
and
to meet
know,
that
to,
goal.
To our end, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, I'm with that.
Yeah,
I think Roland is even more selfish. I do agree with the comparison partially. I feel like in my opinion, Tyler Durden wouldn't care if he died. Roland cares very much. Roland wants to be alive. He wants to get to the tower and
go
through it.
Sure.
He has more self-preservation in that regard. And it is an ideologue, but he's an ideologue, but he isn't purely maybe he's delusional. You can look at it two ways. He's either not purely possessed by his idea, his goal, or he's deluded himself into thinking, because he thinks he's saving the metaverse. He thinks he's saving all of eternity.
Well, he's got
and all
good reason to think that. I mean, everything's falling apart, right?
Yeah.
The beams. The beams are breaking down. Yeah. The big turtle, you know, he's having some, he's struggling. He actually dies, if I remember right. Yeah.
The turtle dies in it, actually. That's when
the
turtle dies.
Yeah. So
the
turtle actually dies. So,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
we got all this. He's got good reason to think I've got to get to this tower. And so, and they don't ever really get into that. And that's what kind of annoys me about the story. It's like, oh, he's a real selfish son of a bitch. It's like, well, somebody told him. Somewhere, and I don't remember either. A, I don't remember it, or B, it wasn't explained. Why do you need to get to the tower?
Wasn't
So it
it
was.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say there's a lot of things that quote unquote tell him, but in my opinion, that kind of shows why he shouldn't. He's naive and dumb, right? He believes something because it supports his own worldview. He's grown
Yeah,
up
you can
being
play the
told he's
co
the
the
descendant.
confirmation bias card, but it's
It
like,
is.
okay,
It is, though.
but what, but something had to have been there first that said the tower is the answer.
No, it was legend. He was told it his whole life growing up by his father and by legends and by storytellers. He had visions. He saw it in the pink ball in Merlin's Rainbow. There's a lot of different instances that told him that the tower is the
I
thing. It
mean,
must
so
be
if all this
protected.
happens to you're rolling it. All this happens to you, right? You have all these cosmic confirmation events. Yeah, you're going to be heading for that tower, cuz.
And what about at the end when the tower itself and the representation says, "I'm good, don't go inside, you've done your job," and you still selfishly do it? So if you're
Now,
gonna,
see,
so
now
you can't have it
there,
both ways,
right?
right?
No,
If you're
therein
gonna.
lies the, I mean, once you get there, right, and it's the tower,
Right.
because I mean we got the Crimson King's dead.
Yeah, which I hated how they killed him, but he's dead. And
Yeah,
so
that
the
was
tower's
weak.
safe. The beams, you've killed the breakers. The beam in its form of a boy
Right.
came to you and Shimi and said, "I'm good now, thanks."
Right.
So
Right. Fucking Chimmy.
it's
Golly.
such a cool character.
Oh my God. Oh Lord. So I mean we get there. But I mean, he's like you said, he's gone 1,000 years or more, and he's expected to walk away now and go, oh, it's fine.
He
Hell
is
no.
because, well, so the reason it's, and this isn't like a hot take, I think it's probably obvious, or somewhat at least, that he's stuck in this cycle because the tower and his struggle is more about a struggle about it's, yes, it's framed as eternity's crumbling, but obviously eternity's not crumbling because every time he gets to the end, he gets recycled and he goes through the same process again. So it's more about this journey of self-improvement and this journey of, like, to me, the only way he wins, and again, I feel like I don't think I'm not a genius for thinking this. The only way he wins is he doesn't
Don't play.
sacrifice everyone. Well, no. The way he wins is to not fucking throw everyone under the bus to selfishly get something because he's a child. Yes, I'm saving eternity, blah, 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 blah. But he's also like, give me this shiny
Right.
thing. I want
A
it.
lot of hubris.
All you people that love me, well, I'm rolling. Fuck you. Yeah, exactly. Hubris.
You're
Fuck you. I'm the last gunslinger.
all
You're
lesser
expendable.
than my quest for the
Yep.
tower.
All of you are expendable. When
Yes.
that's not the
Be
case.
because
It's
they say that all things serve the beam, all things serve the tower, all things.
right, not Roland. Roland does it. They don't th that and that's a key point. I was actually gonna bring up something almost exactly like that. They use
What?
that term. Think about the words you just said. It's not
All things
Roland
serve
served the
the
beam,
tower.
or it's not all things serve Roland who then helps the beam. It's not Roland in the tower holding hands.
It's all things.
Everything's equal. Everything.
Right, even
So you
him.
are not exactly, you're not this special. I mean, you are special, but you're not the only one that can do X, Y, and Z. And I think he's so easily manipulated because of his ego, because of his massive hubris, that his, I mean, his enemies play him his whole life. He kills his own mother. Rhea of the Coos tricks him easily
So
into killing his own
you're
mother.
saying that the tower used him to keep the cycle going.
No, I'm saying the tower almost as a teacher. There's a viewpoint you can look at it of. It's trying to teach each individual person. I don't think the tower can die. Like the eternity, or not, sorry, eternity is the wrong word. Existence will not blink away. And I think
Well,
one of the themes is you are not more important than existence. No one
If you just
person.
said that Roland's, his hubris, his ego is what basically led him through that door, the tower knew that, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm not trying to say the tower is God. I don't want to draw like parallels there. But yeah, maybe the sentience that, embodies the tower, or that like knows, or yeah, represents the tower. Yeah, maybe it knows that it's going to happen again, because each time he restarts, it does give him a trinket. It gives him something to help him on, or something changes. So
Right.
that's why I have the viewpoint of, I think a lot of this is about is about improvement. And I think, yeah, the ending's, sure, it's a cop-out. Like, objectively, I think you can look at the true ending, quote-unquote, as a cop-out. I think King had, it's been 30 years of him writing this story. He admits in interviews and stuff, right? He doesn't want to finish it. Like, his conscious mind, he's like, I want to move on to XYZ story. I'm done with this. But I know if I don't finish the story, I'm going to feel bad and everyone's going to hate me. So he gets to the end, he throws it together, does a pretty good job. I think book six is kind of weak, personally, but it's not bad. He does a pretty good job ending it. And then he throws together this, you know, okay, and now it resets and happens again. And that is a cop-out. I understand. I was pretty miffed. I'm not saying you shouldn't be upset by it, but I don't think any kind of good ending would represent or adequately serve that entire saga. Like, I don't think you end the book, end the series and go, well, you did it, bud. Clap on the back. Existence is safe. Now walk off into the sunset. Like, right. That would be fucking dumb. In my opinion. Obviously, this is all opinions.
Well, I mean, he's the writer. He could. There's a bajillion things he could have done, but no. He settled for it just resets and starts over, which annoys me. Here's why it really bugs me, right? It wipes his memory. Right? That's what really fucking bugs me. Why are you expecting him to do anything different if you are resetting him? Like, I know that we're getting...
You're not, though.
But, so he remembers... So as he's approaching the tower, the last...
He remembers bits and pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
He gets flashes, but it's not... Once you're ideologically possessed like that, that's not enough. No.
That's not the tower's problem now, is it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's convenient for the fucking tower.
Well, this kind of makes me think of... if you guys played any of the BioShock games, there was a saying in those games, and it was, there's always a lighthouse, there's always a man, there's always a city. And so it's kind of, the cycle has to happen. Roland has to continuously seek the tower, find it, reset forever.
It's yep. so it's but to what end though? See, and this is where
there
I'm
is,
like, what
is
what
no,
is
the, there is no end.
See, and that just fucking annoys me. And like, unless you're just gonna be like, okay, it's God and he's just doing it for fun, then fine. If it's just God having fun, cool. I can accept
it's
that.
I don't completely understand it either. But
oh no, I'm not trying to say that
it's just the nature of the universe.
Mm.
Yep.
Everything must go through cycles.
I don't like. So I mean, this, I'm this down with cycles, but I don't like right. this. The I don't like the theme of we're trying to teach this guy a lesson. It's like you're wiping his memory. He can't learn the lesson if you wipe his fucking memory.
Yeah,
but would he learn it if you did? I argue that he almost wouldn't. Like, I think that's kind of the point, right? He's a very flawed person, which is why he's so interesting. Like, I think.
I say you can't know it unless you give it a try.
No, and we'll never know, right? We're arguing, we're not arguing, but we're discussing stuff that it's a book. We're never going to have the answers we want. But I think that he is... The ending's kind of a cop-out, but I do like the overall cycle of the... Or sorry, the theme of the cycle, because it's used so much with the saying, cause a wheel and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But it's everything in the series is cyclical. And that part of it, I think, resonates so easily with people, me included. Maybe I'm just dumb or simple, but a lot of things in life, depending on how abstract you want to look at it, everything in life's a cycle too. Everything comes back around. And I think Roland, many times in the series, makes bad decisions or a mistake or however you want to call it, because he forgets that. He himself says it all the time, right? He preaches at Eddie constantly. But then he treats individual moments like, okay, we have to do this right now. We will never get another chance. It's like, okay, hold on now, dude. Which is it? Is it linear and it will never come back around again and you'll never get another chance? Or is it a wheel? Everything's going to happen.
He doesn't know that his memory got wiped.
No, I'm not talking. No. He does. So he either knows or he's a fucking hypocrite, and everything he spouts is meaningless.
I'm not talking about the ending.
No. I'm not talking about the ending. The memory being wiped doesn't matter. We're not talking about the ending. What I am talking, his theory of life, not his quest, his theory of life. He over and over says that everything serves Ka, and that it's always a wheel and it always comes back around. He is absolute about this.
Yeah.
And yet, all the time, we come onto these instances and he's like, well, this is the only time this is going to happen. We got to do it.
Yeah, it's conflict.
Yeah, I don't have a good argument for that.
I don't either. Other than the only thing, yeah, go ahead.
Point. No, go ahead. It's you.
Well, I was gonna say the only thing I can think of is he's not taking that literally. It's, you know, cause will, like we even use this now. History, you know your history so you don't repeat it, but it ends up happening anyway. There's a lot of things, you know, we repeat over and over, the same fuck ups, yeah, over and over and over. And each time they're a
little bit different.
Yeah, but are they? We could easily go, it's a wheel. We could be like, man, there's nothing new under the sun. We've done been through this. If you know your history.
He starts the cycle a little bit different, does he not?
A touch. But I don't know. Did Roland believe that literally? It's like, no, there has been a Roland Deschain who has literally done this over and over and over. Did he believe that literally, or was he applying it like we do, you know?
Oh, and then someone else will come along.
Right. It's not going to be me. It's going to be someone else dealing with this same thing. The names and places and times will be different.
Yeah.
And the technology will be different. But the principle is the same. It's like, yeah, cause.
But he's pretty dumb and has no imagination. So maybe he literally was applying it.
You quit talking about him like that.
I think he's my favorite character of all time for fiction. He's amazing. I do want to talk about, for, you know, in the interest of not letting this go on forever, I want to talk about his foil, like the Man in Black. We talked about it a little bit, but I think just like I find Roland really interesting because he's flawed and he's not perfect and but he overcomes stuff and he, you know, even does bad things. I think the Man in Black he's almost like the Joker to me in some ways. He's this psychotic
agent of chaos.
Psychotic's probably too heavy-handed. I like yours, an agent of chaos, right? He has an agenda. He self-serves, and like he's a lot of things he does for himself because he wants XYZ to happen. He mostly works for the Crimson King or does his bidding to try and stop Roland, but he just does stuff just to see it happen. And he's that kind of person, just scary to watch as a it villain. Happen, huh? Right. You can't really. So to me, that's a cool villain and they're scary because how do you reason with that person?
Right.
Like, yes, he has a mission. His mission, quote unquote, mission is to stop you. But if someone follows logic, then maybe you can appeal to them or you can scare them or do something. But when you have a guy that knows, or he thinks, at least he either knows or heavily thinks he is bringing about the end of existence, or he's doing this, and he's like, yeah, no, this is fun. I've already ended like six worlds. It's awesome. And his version of himself has died in some of these instances, and
that's what fucking annoys me is he remembers it. Right? This fucker has a recollection of it. So the tower will allow him to remember it, but not Roland. It's targeting. It's presented differently.
It's not one Man in Black reliving a cycle. The Man in Black, because he's a magician, right? He's the spawn of Merlin and a demon.
Uh-huh.
He actually talks to his other self. Roland never talks to his other, like, there are other Rolands. If we follow the logic or the universe, like the rules, right?
Yes.
Then you have to assume there are other Rolands existing in parallel.
Many of them.
But he doesn't know how to talk to them. He never does. Or we're never told that he does, ever. So we have to assume he doesn't. The Man in Black talks to his other selves. Whether it's through the doors, through the technology of the great old ones, or through his magic or whatever, he knows they exist. But it's just, it shows to me again how fucking chaotic this guy is, that you're talking to other versions of yourself. You know, one of them just died to create chaos in this other world, and you don't rethink anything you're doing. it doesn't make you think, huh, maybe I should try and preserve myself here. And yeah, sure, I'll still do evil stuff, but maybe I should not let this... No. Nope. He's like, all right, cool. I'm going to go do this now. He's just, he's fucking insane.
I wonder why, though. I mean, I know you
why
just
is he
said
insane?
It's hard,
I don't
it's
know.
Hard to reason. But, you know, but if he does have a memory, then he knows that it will just reset and he'll be back. So...
I think he's, I don't know that he knows either. I think that, because there are specific dialogue lines of him and the Crimson King, and of him talking to Roland, and at least, again, we it's a book, so we can't know more than what's written and given to us, but he does think existence will end if the tower falls. The man in black does, and so does the Crimson King. They think it will fall. The Crimson King thinks that somehow there's going to be this void he's going to rule. Remember, because it's like, I'll rule the void, and it's going to be darkness.
Yeah.
But the man in black thinks it's going to be nothing. Like, he is willing, like, he is at least outwardly saying...
He's done with existence. He's ready to burn it all down, Harry. Let's go. I'm here.
And how do you stop a person that's as powerful as he is, has been alive as long as he's been, is as connected as he is, and
just like, wants not... it to stop.
Right. He doesn't care. That is a scary villain.
Yeah, that's a
scary he's
villain.
Spooky. He's definitely spooky. Worst nightmare, for real.
I do find it interesting. It's interesting, and one thing that annoys me, like, the loop annoys you a lot, right, D? One of the biggest gripes I have with the series, because I feel like it's wasted potential, is... at least in the first couple of books, and, you know, the Man in Black appears in several other works of Stephen King. But one of the most prominent is The Stand. He's Randall Flagg, the main antagonist in The Stand. But he's presented, for the most part, as this super powerful sorcerer, like the spawn of the greatest wizard ever, who created the Wizard's Rainbow and all those balls, and one of the strongest demonesses from Prim. He's their spawn. And so super powerful. He always evades Roland, who's the best gunslinger ever, like one of the best heroes, most powerful heroes. But he doesn't ever really fight. It doesn't show him fighting. And he is killed, again, for hubris and his ego. He's killed by the spawn of the Crimson King and Roland and Susanna because his mind's controlled. Like, it feels weird. Like, I guess what I'm trying to say, I'm not probably not getting the point across. His power level seems really misrepresented throughout the franchise. Like, he seems like he's presented as like almost God. Like, how do you stop this guy? He is so powerful. Like, Roland can't even kill him. Roland's been trying to kill him for 1,000 years, and if Roland can't do it, no one can.
Right.
And then he's brought down by mind control. And yes, it's the Crimson King's son, and you can argue, well, that's like the DNA from Roland and the Crimson King. Of course, Mordred's going to be super powerful, but it just kind of feels weird, right? Like, it's the villain's brought low and dies from that. He doesn't die in like an epic shootout with Roland. That's the part that confuses me. I don't know why he's handled that way.
Right. Well, he's handled that way this time.
Got him.
So I wonder if he's just more of a symbol of the balance, like the yin and the yang, right? So maybe I'm kind of, you know, going a little outside the realm of the book a little bit here, but just theorizing. But is he more of a? So sometimes does he win? Does he win sometimes?
I bet he does. If there's infinite realities, you have to assume in some of them he wins.
You have to assume that, and sometimes he wins. And
so, I mean, he kills Roland, he makes it to the tower and destroys it, or destroys he destroys the beams, he destroys the tower.
Yeah. Reset. Right. Oh. Gotcha.
We back.
I do think that's kind of how he's painted. I agree with you that it is a yin and a yang. Like, he exists and he is so powerful.
Solely because Roland exists. Yeah.
Yep. And so maybe if you follow that argument, it's, again, we're stretching things here, but if you take the argument of he's as powerful as he is and he exists to balance out Roland, he dies right when Roland's about to finish his quest. So his usefulness has been outlived at that point. Like, there's no need or a yin or a yang, like
Because the
Roland's.
tower knows he's gonna fucking go, he's gonna come on
Right.
in.
Yeah, it's gonna happen, so we don't need you anymore. I don't know. I do. I think he's a really cool villain. I think that the I do think the graphic novels, anyone that listens to this, if you're a fan of the books, the graphic novels by Marvel do a really good job of.
I need to look at the graphic novels.
Oh, they're awesome. I thought you borrowed them from me. The Omnibus.
No. That was
Definitely look
me.
at them. Okay. All right. Yeah, they're super good. They mostly follow Roland is younger, so like book four does a big flashback to Roland in his younger times with his friends. That's mostly what the graphic novels do, but I feel like they fill in the gaps of not only his younger life, but the Man in Black's exploits and why the Crimson King, or not really why, but just more information about who he is, his goals.
Wasn't he alluded to in that fucking that movie? Was it Cell?
I don't want to talk about the movie.
Cell? What movie?
No, we're not talking about it. No, there was a movie with oh my God. Oh, brain. Oh,
The
I gotta
Sale?
type.
You're talking about
No,
The
not The
Sale?
Sale. No. It's a movie with a dude's name who I can see his face, but I can't remember it. Hold on, I'm
Is
gonna
it
type on
a
my
King?
keyboard.
Is it a King movie? Okay.
Yes.
I vaguely recall what you're talking about, but I can't remember the name of the movie either. I need to look at the timelines of this because I'm pretty sure he wrote that book.
Yeah, it's just called Cell.
Yeah,
It's got John
I
Cusack
didn't.
and Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, okay.
He's the Crimson King's talked about in that book?
In the movie.
Oh,
Oh,
the
no.
movie. Okay. No,
Yes, in the
I was
movie.
gonna talk about the band King Crimson, and
Oh.
they wrote a song called "In the Court of the Crimson King."
Yeah.
And
That's old
oh
school, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, that's old school. I'm pretty sure King wrote the book well after that.
Yeah, so that's probably the original.
Yeah.
So what role? I've not seen the movie. I know what it is, but I've not seen it. What role does the Crimson King
It's
play in
not
the
really
movie?
explained. It's just it's the synopsis is everybody's succumbing to some sort of I don't even want to call it like a mind virus of some sort, and it's turning them into just roving bands of not zombies because they're not dead, but they're definitely MC, I'm sorry, mind controlled, and
MC'd.
I'm sorry.
Right.
They're definitely mind controlled, and they come into this building, and one of them was like, "All hail the Crimson King." It was painted on the wall in blood. Wow, I was like,
Okay.
and it is a Stephen King novel, so.
Yeah, that's definitely on. I mean, he weaves, like
Yeah,
we've said a few times, the
all those guys.
Randall with Rand, yeah, like Randall Flagg and
Yep, and
yeah,
the turtle, and the
the
turtle is the
turtle.
one of the main per or foils against
What's his
Pennywise in
name?
It,
Maturin?
Maturin. Yeah, Maturin. And
I like the turtle.
so do you think that, and I mean, I know we had talked about this a few minutes ago, but do you think that Roland, this is his destiny, always, never breaking? He
I mean, his
always
destiny.
resets and he always seeks the tower. That's just what he does.
We need Roland out there.
We do.
I
We
wasn't
need
gonna.
him.
I your viewpoint's a lot more positive. I was gonna say, you could take the point of view of, if the tower is this sentient godlike thing in this mythos or in any existence King created, that maybe it created Roland and made him, this loop is there because it wants it to be there. Does it serve a purpose? Yes, but the purpose it serves is I want it to be so. Like the ultimate just. I can't think of the words escaping me, but it's not necessarily that it wants to torture one thing specifically. It just wants it. It wants it to be, so it's there. It's a really, I guess, nihilistic or defeatist way of looking at it, because there's no good or bad. It's just it exists because it exists. So I like Dee's explanation better.
That is hard to wrap your head around. Which is kind of like whenever you were saying before about the man in black. Like how do you deal with someone who can't reason, really? you know, they just want to destroy.
You get lucky. Yeah. You get lucky or they win.
Yeah, they get killed by some other, they get third partied.
So, right, or that.
I know we don't want to paint, or you don't want to paint the picture of the tower being God, but that's kind of what it is.
It's like the source in the Matrix, right? It's like it's where everything goes to die.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So we talked to, or I guess I want to, before we wrap up, I do want to touch on just your just opinions real quick on how the supporting cast, like
I kind of think the main ones.
So there's a lot I know, but so the main three: Jake, Eddie, and Susanna. Yeah. Like I like Eddie a lot. Again, he's flawed. I think he grows a lot. Yeah. He has a lot of growth, right? I actually don't like Jake a lot. I feel like he is a kid, so it's hard to pin a lot on him. But I do feel like he's just kind of whiny. I mean, he's a kid. I don't. It's hard to say it without just
saying.
Yeah,
what is he? 14?
He's like 12, I think, even younger. Yeah. Like he's super young.
I mean, what do you want from him, man? I mean, kid.
Yeah, I don't know. Oi's best character. Don't ask.
Oi is definitely best character.
And it's obvious. Far. He is obviously. So King has corgis, which are the best dogs ever. And so he obviously modeled Oi after corgis with how he's.
Clearly.
Other than the corkscrew tail, that's a little bit of a stretch. But, you know, the rest of it, I just imagine a little corgi following Jake and rolling around. The whole story makes it all a lot better until he gets fucking impaled on a tree by a spider, because Roland again is the biggest faggot in the entire world, and's like, oh, let me use this poor Billy Bumbler to further my, you know.
That's that, why you mad.
Oi,
there it is, right there. Dying. There it is.
I'd like to say for the court of record, I've been mad at this since 2003.
He's been
mad. 2004. Yeah, so that's my ranking. I guess a quick ranking would be Oi, obviously, but Eddie, Susanna, Jake. I feel like Eddie's far, like, heads and shoulders above Susanna, Jake, as far as an interesting character, though. Like, going from the heroin addict who can barely wipe his own ass to kind of being the glue that holds the group together. Because there's a noticeable drop-off when he dies. Like, it just... Mm-hmm. I mean, there's the whole, the quartet's broken and blah, mystic shit. But I feel like there's a simpler explanation of it's just he was, again, the glue. Like he kept them all together. It was just a big fracture in their group.
Eddie's my number one. Nice. Then I'd have to say Odetta.
We're gonna get into person. Are you talking about the personality? Are we gonna rank her personalities?
I hated Odetta. God, I hated Odetta. She was just
that's why
just
I loved
hostile.
Her. I love
it. Absolutely fucking hostile.
She was so hostile.
It was funny, though.
Yeah. It added
she had the bands.
Added a new dynamic. But no, the character, Susanna Odetta. Okay.
yeah.
And then Oi, of course. I'm not even going to put Jack up there. I really didn't care.
Ooh.
I didn't care.
Not even making the list. Ultimate snub.
I just didn't care about it.
I loved Cuthbert, man. I loved Cuthbert.
Lane and Cuthbert were both really cool.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I loved Cuthbert. And he was, I was like, man, this is the guy I want to roll with if I'm a gunslinger, for sure.
I think that's why I like Eddie, because Eddie and Cuthbert were, like, you know, foils of each other. So I think that's one reason I like him.
Let me bring it back. Eddie, the man in black. Susanna.
I'll allow it. Yeah. I'll allow it.
He's supporting cast. Come on.
Yeah. It's a, you know, we barely scratched the surface. I don't keep rambling about it, but it's so good.
I mean, we're talking to over 250 hours of content here.
Yeah. It's massive.
It's a whole world. A 1 hour podcast thing when you get close to doing it justice.
Mm-hmm.
Suffice it to say, give it a try if you give a shit about I don't know.
But
is
don't
it horror?
Quit. Don't quit
it's not
after
horror,
the first
though.
Book. No, I wouldn't say horror. I would say like more like sci-fi western fantasy.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah, sci-fi western fantasy. There you go.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back next week for another episode. Have a good night.
Later boys.
Later.